38. Nate, said Eddie, I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes.
It was Tuesday after the holiday weekend. With the new schedule, only Zach and Nate were there, but Zach was out having lunch with a friend. Nate had hoped to do some more web searching for the Kavach building, but Eddie talking for a few minutes could mean half of Nate's afternoon was about to vanish.
Sure, he said. What's up?
Eddie moved into the cubicle and settled his swollen ass against the corner of Nate's desk, filling most of the space as he did. The scent of oil and pepperoni hung around him. He'd had the two-slice special at the pizza shop down on the corner for lunch.
This is kind of off the record, Eddie said. Nobody knows we're having this talk.
Nate didn't let his mental groan show on his face. The only thing worse than one of Eddie's lectures was one of his man-to-man talks. The guy didn't even have enough empathy to realize how fake his attempts at empathy came across.
You know things are tight right now, Eddie said. They cut the hours and they're on me to cut back even more. I'm fighting to keep everybody here. You know that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Eddie nodded. He looked past Nate's shoulder to the stack of mail crates. There were three of them now. One straddled the other two to make a short step pyramid of returned issues and bundled flyers. Nate had spent most of the morning looking up suicides and population predictions.
You're falling way behind, Eddie said. It doesn't help that you've never gone as fast as some folks upstairs think you could.
Nate was confident that most of the people in the upstairs office thought this job was done by a machine or farmed out to another company. He doubted anyone past Eddie and the accountant even knew his name.
I've tried to explain, he said, that their estimates for how fast this can be done are impossible.
Eddie put his hands up.
Hey, he said, I'm on your side. And normally it's no big deal if you're slow, but this is getting kind of extreme, don't you agree?
Nate sighed and nodded. In all fairness, he'd done maybe 10 hours of work in the past week.
Yeah, he said. Yeah, it's getting a bit out of hand.
I'm fighting to keep you and Anne and Zach on the payroll, but that means I need 110% from you guys, you know?
He waved a pizza-scented hand at the step pyramid.
If someone came down and saw all this, they'd tell me to get rid of you.
Right, said Nate. Sorry.
What's the problem? If it's something I can help with, just let me know.
Nate saw the potential minefield ahead of him.
It's not a problem, he said after a long 3 seconds. I just haven't been getting a lot of sleep.
Eddie gave a sage nod.
Trouble at home?
No, he said. Nothing like that.
Eddie's brow wrinkled up for a moment, then his face split into a wide grin.
Ah, he said. Not getting any sleep that way.
A grenade landed in the middle of the minefield.
No, said Nate. No, that's not it at all.
You dog, said Eddie.
He gave Nate a punch in the shoulder that landed too hard.
What's her name?
Veek, he said without thinking.
She hot?
An image from his dream appeared in his mind. Veek in her horn rims and an orange sweatshirt next to Zila, naked with green hair. He pushed the picture away as fast as it had appeared and nodded for Eddie's benefit.
Yeah, she's hot.
Man, I remember those days, said the heavy man. Working all day, going home, and being up all night.
He put deliberate emphasis on up.
Nate tried very hard to keep an image of Eddie having sex from forming in his mind.
It was like not thinking about a pink elephant, or in this case, a sunlight-deprived elephant that smelled like greasy pizza.
Yeah, he said. I'm a little obsessed, in a good way.
Power to you, man, said Eddie. Where'd you meet her, at one of those nights out the editors organize?
No, said Nate.
He thought of marching straight ahead. Surely there couldn't be any minds left after that last blast.
She lives in my building. Eddie's eyebrows went up.
Really?
Nate nodded.
Kind of risky, don't you think? I mean, if she's hot and willing, it's sweet, but if things go wrong, well, she's always right there.
Yeah, it's not like that, said Nate. We're both in it for the same thing, you know?
He found religion and began praying he could get out of the conversation without creating any more details of his imaginary sex life. Eddie grinned and nodded again.
Cool, he said. Between you and me, I think it's great, but, you know, I can't tell them that.
He looked at the ceiling, then back to the pyramid of returned mail.
You've got to tell her no for a couple nights and start banging things out here at the office,
he snickered.
Banging things out, that's pretty funny.
Nate nodded. Pretty funny. Eddie nodded again and his face went slack. The grin was gone as quickly as it had appeared.
Okay then, he said.
He leaned forward until his ass came away from the desk. It was like watching an avalanche in slow motion.
If you can get most of these done by next week, that'd be great.
I'll try, said Nate. It'd be a lot easier if I could have my hours back.
Nah, just work around them.
There was a corkboard by the Kavach building's curving staircase. Normally it was decorated with rows of business cards or sheets of pizza coupons. When Nate got home, all those things had been swept away and a fresh sheet of white paper was centered there. The handwriting was crisp and precise.
To all tenants. A family crisis requires that I leave town for a long weekend. I will be leaving Friday morning and will return the following Tuesday. Under normal circumstances, I would not be gone for such a long period, especially not with the recent bout of vandalism. However, I have spoken with Tony from the management company and assured her there will be no problems on par with the ones which occurred last week. Please respect your fellow tenants. If there are emergencies, please contact Tony directly on her cell phone. Oscar Rommel, property manager.
He doesn't know, thought Nate. Tony slash Kathy's secret identity was still safe from the people behind lock management, apparently. Nate also realized he'd never heard from the woman about the building's history. Oscar gone for almost 5 days. They'd have lots of time to investigate. It was close to 10 when someone banged on his door. Nate stood at the wall across from his kitchen, his arm stretched out to where the warning was written in blood. His eyes went to the door and he thought it was Oscar, here to grumble that Nate was thinking about the words under the paint. The knock came again, 3 quick, solid thumps. He squinted through the peephole and saw a fisheye view of Roger. He looked excited. Roger pushed his way in as soon as the door opened.
Bro, he said, you're not going to believe this.
What's up?
Okay, remember I told you I'm doing this low-budget indie thing?
Nate didn't remember, but he nodded anyway.
Met the lead actress the other day. Smoking hot lady. She's pretty cool. Been talking with her, and guess what? She speaks like 6 different languages. One of them's Russian.
The picture Roger was trying to draw got a lot clearer. Okay, said Nate, but it's not Russian.
Yeah, but she speaks a bunch of those languages, Roger explained. Russian, French, Italian. Figure I could ask her if she could help us out.
I'm pretty sure it's not French or Italian either.
Bro, why not let her look and see?
Nate considered it. Do you think she would?
She's pretty cool, and it's not like we're asking for anything big, just to look at a couple paragraphs and translate them, right?
Right, Nate gestured Roger into the apartment. He had hard copies of all the photos posted around his desk, and he pulled down an image of the glowing words. You want a couple copies? I've got 2 versions of it. Roger shook his head.
This is perfect, he said. 1 piece of paper, nice and casual, no big deal. I can ask her tomorrow, and we could know what it means by the weekend.